Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, your co-host, and we'll be joined by Dr. Debbie Green and her exciting guest today. And we're going to take a close personal look at surviving trauma, surviving abuse, surviving, because that is the main issue
how to be a survivor. Our guest today is a brilliant author telling her story. And perhaps you might even see yourself in her story as a woman who experienced some of the worst treatment. How do you rebuild self-esteem after being raised in an environment in which your sense of personhood is so severely challenged? This is a story that you want to hear to help you reflect on some of the things that you may have survived and not even realize the trauma that they carried. Many of us go through things in life and we presume that they are normal because we're living it, and we don't realize the traumatic impact of these experiences. Well, we're going to share with you today a story that should open your eyes and give you encouragement. The journey of life can be challenging and overwhelming. There are many experiences, bad, good, and ugly. The changes are there to make us stronger. However, while experiencing the best or the worst, it can take a lot out of us. So we're going to join Dr. Debbie Green today as she interviews this survivor that experienced the worst and conquered life when everything was overwhelming and pain was a constant friend. Janine Bradford Lee will share her book, and this is a story about her power of redemption, her power to overcome, her power to survive, and victory at the end. The title of the book is Against All Odds. Let this inspire you and free you in the spirit. And Janine Bradford Lee joins us this morning, very candidly sharing a very powerful story of survival. As a child, one doesn't always realize that they are being abused. However their parents treat them, that is what they accept because they don't know anything else. So often we don't even identify it as abuse when it's happening. We just live with it. It's not until later in our adult lives that we recognize that such treatment is unacceptable and abusive and illegal. But as a child, we simply endure. We simply live with whatever the adults in our midst put forth, and we learn how to survive. We learn how to appear normal. We learn how to keep smiling often, even in the midst of pain. We learn how to keep going. And somehow we maintain a picture of normalcy despite the abnormal circumstances. And we learn not to talk about it. And this is perhaps one of the reasons why so many endure childhood abuse, because they don't know how to deal with the trauma they're experiencing. They don't know who to talk to, and they don't have the words to say to describe what they are experiencing. So they simply survive. And many survive against all odds. We want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your comments. There are a number of people who manage to feel normal, even though what they have experienced is everything but normal. There are people who've managed to maintain a face of calm, even though inside they may be experiencing the worst turmoil. And there are those who still manage to get through life, work their jobs, and make it appear that everything is just fine. And somehow, no one knows what they have endured until they speak. So this is for you. And if you need someone to give you some comfort, some counsel, some reassurance, then perhaps Dr. Debbie is the one to listen to. Because every Thursday morning, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, we give you an opportunity to hear words of wisdom. And we give you an opportunity to understand your own situation. We give you an opportunity to experience healing by addressing those things that you may not have been able to talk about in your own family. This is a common situation in families where children are abused. No one speaks about it. And some of the most famous celebrities have come forth in their books and spoken of violence in the household and spoken of being sexually violated and spoken of neglect. And no one would know that perhaps this was the incentive behind their drive for success. No one would know. And if you are one of those children silenced by shame, then you can understand how it feels. You can understand what it means to be abused by those that you trust and neglected by those you needed to understand. So we're joining now Dr. Debbie Green as she speaks to our guest today, Janine Bradford Lee, author of Against All Odds. And can you survive against all odds? Let's join them now.
The things that I describe in my book are not, you know, you can't sugarcoat those things. So I am very transparent and raw in the book is with my journey today because, you know, I have to, sometimes I still struggle with the thoughts that occur in my mind or what noise to pay attention to because it's so easy to get caught up in the negative noise and it will sink you right back into that dark hole that you, you know, fought your way mentally so hard to get out of. So when writing this book, it took me so long to actually decide to publish it because of the thoughts in my head and the fear of what my family would think. And, you know, how they would probably not like me even more. So I had to change my thought process and, again, choose myself for once and think to myself, am I going to continue to be so broken to make others happy, or am I going to try to put myself first and try to heal and talk through this trauma so that I won't be so broken? So when I decided to do that and all of the negative feedback and the backlash that I'm getting, it will put you back into a negative state. You know, I want to be very honest and transparent. It will, because it's coming from people who, you know, you're born into a family where you imagine it a certain way, and these people are supposed to love you, and where you're not getting that, that's another trauma that you're experiencing. So the backlash that I received from them,
right?
I had to start back therapy again. I had to, you know, enroll back in therapy to ensure that I don't go back down that dark hole. And I also had to keep in mind that it's not always the family that you're born into. It's the family that you create, and God will put certain people in your life for specific reasons to be a family for you. And I have a lot of supportive people in my life that are there for me. So I have to pay more attention to that versus the family that I was born into and the backlashing that I'm receiving from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means you choose you today. You know, that's one thing about the independence will. When we, as a person, chooses that no matter what, I am going to make a decision for myself.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Then what you do, you literally draw a property line around yourself.
Yes.
And you have to trust the higher power. Like you said, you trust God, you trust yourself, you trust your decision. And even if there's turbulence, you even have to be brave for the turbulence. You know, because there's so many gifts that are in people, especially books like these and, you know, things that people really put out into the world to help another human being. But because of the fear of not wanting everyone to know their story.
Yes.
And then, you know, what would they think of me? You know, would somebody think less of me? You know, we have these thoughts that permeate our mind. At the end of the day, the main focus is, you know, how are you using, again, your pain to actually execute change, not just in your life, but also in another individual's life. And that's truly remarkable.
Yeah.
That's truly remarkable. So let me ask you something. If you could just give me a summary of, not because I want everyone to buy this book, you know what I'm saying? I want them to read it so they can hear your passion in it. But like just a summary, because I know you don't you can. So just like the most, like some of the most intense areas out there.
Okay, yes, sure. Just about, you know, growing up in the project, you know, Rockwell Gardens on the west side, and, you know, just growing up in the projects alone, people can kind of have an idea of what that's like. You know, both of my parents abused drugs, so seeing that, you know, put, you know, a lot of trauma inside of me, seeing drug dealers bang on the doors from credit being owed, seeing close family members, siblings, you know, experience domestic violence or even beat on the women that they're, you know, involved with. So not having the basic hygiene and necessities, things that you don't think you'll remember as a kid, and it comes up unexpectedly. Like, I remember knocking on doors for just to get a complete breakfast. So knocking on one door for eggs, knocking on another door for sausage, knocking on another door for bread. You know, things like that that you feel as though, you know, you might be too young to remember that, but it comes up, and it's that embarrassment and guilt as well that comes up. And then I moved to the South Side with my older sister. And, you know, I'm thinking this is going to be a better life. This is going to be a, you know, a better life. I'm going to have the basic necessities like, you know, soap, tissue, clothes. I'm going to have things like that. And I did, food, all of that. But for me came a price to pay with that because the person that lived under the same roof as me, you know, molested me day in and day out. So I had the necessities, but my innocence was also being taken away from me. And so I'm trying to keep quiet because I am appreciative of the life that I have now because I have the basic necessities. So as a child, I'm making that conscious decision. No one's going to believe me. If you do tell, you might end up in a worse situation than you are in now. You have food. You have the basic necessities. You're being taken care of. So as a child, imagine making that decision. No child should make that decision. But as a child, I had to make it because I knew because of my environment, no one would believe me. So I try, as a child, you try to go to different friends' homes to escape that. But then you wound up, you escape it to go, and you go to friends' homes, and you end up in the same situation. So growing up, I felt like, is it something that I'm doing to make all of these men sexually assault me the way that they're doing? Do I have a paper on my head or a sticky note saying, touch me? So I grew up with that feeling, and I chose to put everything that happened to me so far in my head and pretend like it didn't happen. So as I became a young adult, I started to notice that it's coming up. And then I also became a teenage mom. So that made me guilty as well because in my mind, how can I even think about being sexually active when all my childhood, these horrible things happened to me? So I also was struggling with that as well. But I decided when I had my daughter, I decided that her life was going to be different from mine. So I still decided to go away to school. I received my bachelor's, my master's, worked 3 jobs, honor society, scholarships. So I'm showing people that despite or in spite of your past, you still can get through it. You just have to continue to push through and tell yourself the affirmations that you tell yourself and the thoughts, they really matter. I didn't think about that at first. I didn't think, oh, this will work. You know, what you tell yourself is really what will happen. That is so true. And when I went to therapy, my therapist told me to write down some thoughts, all my bad thoughts, write them down. And at the end of the day, put them in a container with a top on it and then just dump them. And you can call that the sinking ship. Or burn all of your bad thoughts when you ball them up. In my mind, I'm like, this is not going to work. But see, that's already that negative thought.
I like that.
I'm already in my mind thinking this is not going to work.
Correct.
What is writing on a piece of paper, balling up? That's not going to work. But I told myself, you're in it. You decided to make this decision. You give it all you have. Because what you want to stay in this position or you want to get better? That was my goal. So you want to stay how you are or get better? And I started to do it. And after about a week, it started to work. And I was so surprised that something that we would think is so simple will work. But it actually started to work. And that's when I found out writing about your pain and your bad thoughts will really help you mentally.
Awesome. That coping skill, you know, did you create that?
The therapist that I was seeing told me about the sinking ship or burning of the bad thought. She introduced that to me, and I give that advice to everyone who I encounter. I've given it to my daughter. I've told people who've reached out to me, strangers who've read my book, and they're reaching out to me and they're thanking me for being brave enough and having the courage to put myself out there. And they're also stating that it gave them the courage to speak about what happened to them. And I had someone call me off of Facebook, and I usually don't answer, you know, calls that I don't know the people. And she called and said as soon as she closed my book, she called me and told me about her experience about how she was assaulted, and she could not even know what to do with that.
And that touching,
I saw the things that are happening. I didn't expect, because I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't.
So when she
some
called
of the things that are happening,
that
I didn't expect to happen
kind of
from this. And lost for words, but I got it together really quick, and I just listened to her, and I asked how she feels, and I gave her that as well. You know what the therapist suggested for me to write your thoughts down.
Wow.
Mhm.
That is amazing.
That's an excellent tool. That's an excellent tool because it's mind over matter. That's exactly what that, you know, you when you put those negative thoughts in that jar, and it's when the mind something away, it takes the option away.
Yes.
That's an excellent tool to use.
Yes.
Excellent tool to use. And as you did that, you literally funneled through all of negative thoughts. So when you didn't have any, then you were replacing with positive thoughts as well. Because whenever you have to replace one back.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent therapist that you had. She wasn't surface, and that's a good thing. She just tools. A good thing, always give tools. Tools of,
yes.
And so what that did, allowed you to cope, it also allowed you to conquer.
Yes.
Also allowed you to conquer. So if I could ask everything from your children, how old if I can I ask how old they are?
Yes, of course. I have a 7-year-old son, a 12-year-old daughter, and an 18-year-old daughter.
So I'm proud of mom, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. The 18-year-old, I know she grew up with you, so you growing up together, literally. And that's.
Yes, I watched her grow, and she watched me grow. Yes.
Exactly. So you are a mentor. You are her everything. And that's awesome. Well, we have our executive producer in backstage. Get her on here.
Hi.
We have a little bit of technical difficulty this morning. Hello, Naima. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Rising. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. We have a little technical difficulty as everything is kind of moving like in slow motion almost.
Mm.
Yes.
It's like the internet is slow. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Good. I was just
chatting with Janine about. We can't. It's just a delay for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not for you, but just for everybody.
It's a delay on Janine's part,
but we are. We're going to keep going on because someone needs to hear this wonderful
story of triumph.
I'm excited about that. So are you, I see that you have MS behind your name. So are you in therapy? Are you some type of helping feel yourself?
Yes, I have a master's degree in human services and my bachelor's degree is in family and child studies.
Wow, powerful. Powerful. You know, I have a question because I know there.
Okay, say that one more time. You broke up a little bit.
Yeah,
bachelor's in family and child studies and a master's in human services.
Hold on one second. We have a delay.
Okay, I think her system might be a little slow. Can you hear me, okay, Janine?
Yes, I can hear you great.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Debbie, I think your system might be a little slower also. Yes, because you're freezing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you might want to close any other windows you may have just in case there's something else pulling on your internet. I'll make sure I close all of mine as well. But one thing I was going to ask Janine, because I know a lot of people have gone through life and they don't realize what they lived was abuse because that's what they were living. So at what point in your childhood did you realize, you know, everybody's not going through this. Everybody's not, you know, dealing with drug addiction in the household or sexual violations in the household. This is not what a family should. I mean, at what point did you become conscious that this should not be happening and this is not what's happening in other households?
I had certain different friends around the area I grew up in, and I will, you know, kind of go to their home sometimes and, you know, just relax and spend time with their family, and I would just look at the dynamics. And, you know, I understand nothing's perfect, no one's perfect, but I can just kind of tell by the surroundings that, you know, this was not, everything that was happening to me was not supposed to be happening to me. Just by looking at my friends group and their family dynamics, and when I really realized it was a problem was I went outside with a friend, and I've never said this before. I went outside with a friend, and I had a hickey on my neck, and she looked at me, and she said, "What are you doing with a hickey?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's not a hickey, you know." Previous, from a week ago, the person that was abusing me told my family that it was a roach bite.
Oh, my.
So I just went with that story and said, it's just a roach bite. And she looked at me. She knew I was lying.
Oh, wow.
Just by how she looked at me, she knew I was lying, and I knew she knew I was lying.
Mm.
So a week after that, she asked me something. And I didn't answer. I just gave her a look. And then I asked her the same question she asked me, did this person touch you when you spent the night at my house? She gave me the same look I gave her. So the look that we gave one another was the understanding that we had.
Mm.
And I reached out to her about 3-4 years ago. And I asked her. I just straight up asked her. And she told me the truth. And she said he had tried to, but she stopped
him. Mm.
And I cried that day because I didn't really like people spending the night at my home because of that, but because of all the freedom I had, my friends thought it was so cool to spend a night at my house. And I felt really guilty that she was even in that situation, but I was happy that she shut it down. But then at the same time, I asked myself, even when I tried to shut it down, why did it never work for me?
Mm, you couldn't get away from it. Because they live in your household.
Even when I tried to get away from it and go to other friends' homes, their family members touched me.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking it must be something that I'm doing to have all these men assault me the way that they're assaulting me. So I grew up very damaged and thinking something was wrong with me.
Yes. So, Dr. Debbie, I think that's what a lot of people who have undergone sexual assault end up feeling like. It must be me. I'm doing something. It's my fault. That's where the trauma comes in, blaming yourself.
Yes. And then when you try to go to the authorities, I try telling my family.
Right. It doesn't stop.
Yes.
I tried telling family members who didn't believe me or said I shouldn't have kept getting in the bed.
Mm.
And then I went to the authorities who's supposed to serve and protect, and they told me that unless I had an old pair of underwear, there was nothing they can do. They were so cold. So with those two reactions,
wow.
I went back into this depression state, and I felt as if it was happening to me all over again.
Oh, my. Thank God for your therapist. Because most people don't get therapy. They just suffer through it, and then it manifests as some aberrant behavior because they can't get help.
Yeah, because growing up, people like us, we're taught that therapy is for white people, and we don't take mental health as serious as it should be. So I had to unlearn a lot of things so that I can get the help for myself.
Wow, that's powerful. But that sounds like that is one of the great purposes of your life, is to be able to be that beacon of light to those who need help. And because of cultural beliefs, won't seek it out because there's a stigma about being under therapy, or that ridiculous thought, oh, well, that's for those other people, but, you know, we're strong, we don't need therapists.
We don't need therapy.
It has nothing to do with strength. You know, other people are here to help us, and that's what we're here for. But a whole lot of us grew up abused and made to feel like you're weak if you ask for help.
Yes.
You're supposed to just suffer through it, just, you know, tough it out.
Yeah,
sweep it under the rug, act like it's not happening. There are friends that I've had that I later found out had abuse in their households, and you know, I always knew, you know, I'd go to their house, I knew something was kind of off, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know what it was, and then later on, you know, maybe they came out either with a book or a talk show or something,
mm-hmm.
and they revealed that this was happening.
Yes.
But at the time, a child who is going through abuse is expected to shut up about it so that they don't damage the reputation of some prominent person in their family that's abusing them.
Yes. And unfortunately, because I chose to put myself first and write this book and speak about it, I'm still going through that right now. You know, you threw the family on the
telling our family business.
Yes. You made me look a certain way. I cannot make anyone look like anything.
Right. Right. I did tell what happened. Now, if this is how you look, oh, well. You know, I'm just holding up a mirror. That's all I'm doing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very common reaction in families.
Well, it takes bravery. It takes courage.
Absolutely.
Position, and when you know, then it will. And everyone is not going to do their own victim. Mother not gotten what she needs, you know, mentally or emotionally to get her back, to still in a victim mentality. And that's, you know, the goal is to come out of that. You look like being a victim.
Yes.
You don't live a life being a victim. You go through these changes over and over, and you just cycle in the same mindset, and it's deteriorating.
Yes.
So I know you have to go because you told me unless I do a apologize for the technical difficulty. I don't know where that
is. Beyond any of our control.
But the energy that
it's beyond any of our control. You're okay.
Well, we do appreciate you taking the time to
right. But we would love that.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yes. And also, tell us one more time again where people can get your book.
You can get Against All Odds. You can get it on Amazon, but I also have autographed copies at justjenine.com. That's JustJenine.com.
JustJenine.com. Get your autographed copy from her website, or just get a regular copy from Amazon. But get a copy.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate you so much, Jenine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking forward to having you back. And
yes.
you're a powerful woman, and you are a beacon of light for so many who may want to tell their story but are afraid to speak out. So you have freed a lot of people today.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And we're going to take a break, Dr. Debbie, and maybe give you a chance to go out and come back in, see if your system reboots. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to seeing you again. And I'm going to get my copy. I'm going to get my autographed copy.
So Facebook.
my I'm on Facebook as Janine Bradford Lee.
Janine Bradford Lee, okay, on Facebook.
And then Instagram is just Janine.
Just Janine. All right. Well, I'm gonna go to your website and get my autographed copy of the book.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to reading it and being inspired.
Yeah, we got to shut
this
down. I don't know.
Well, let me take a break, and we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call. 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Because they come out with the same damage. But then in terms of sexual crimes, that's another situation that, in my opinion, points to somewhere in their lives where they were damaged. So again, criminalizing them doesn't help them or the society. They can be behind bars and either be an abuser or be the recipient of abuse, but they still are going to be damaged. So whenever they're released, you have this damaged person, you send them back to the society, and then they have this stigma, so now they got to register as a sex offender. That still does not help them or the society. So what are your thoughts about making the jails that we have created to house people be houses of healing and therapy and help and nurturing, as opposed to punishment, giving people who are already in pain more pain because they acted out of pain? What are your thoughts on that? And the reason why I ask is because...
Well, it's a real delicate area.
I mean, it is, because people are angry. You know, when they've been hurt, they're angry and they want that person to suffer, but suffering presupposes that the person acted out of malice when instead they acted out of sickness of some type, emotional, mental, whatever the case may be. So just giving them pain because they gave you pain, that doesn't help them or the society. That's my thought. And I'm asking you as a therapist because... You know, I've been working on creating and working with an elected official to create some kind of legislation that transforms our prison system so that it can actually be beneficial to those who do need to be away from the society because they're hurting people, but they need to get help while they're away from people and not just be given more pain so they can come out worse criminals, worse addicts, worse abusers than they were when they went in. That's my thought.
Well, again, you know, our society is not set up. I mean, it will be wonderful if we have a rehabilitation system, you know, because that's what you're talking about, to rehabilitate that human being emotionally so that they will be a person that you can cast back out into, you know, civilized society, but otherwise it is not. So a lot of the... batterers and people that are, you know, they either stay in jail or continue to do what they do, even though they may be on that list of individuals that, again, systems in our government systems as well as our state are set up to rehabilitate. They're just set up to move
punish
one person to another area at a time and, you know, and then release them back out into society, but not changing the person.
Right.
That's just like, you know,
person.
You got a wild animal, you know what I'm saying, and you just put it in another area. You don't take the wildness out the area, the animal back out to do the same damage. So it is what it is. And yes, we can sympathize and empathize with these with this population, but unfortunately, psychopaths and sexual abusers, you know, they come different types of upbringing and exposures and traumas. And those traumas did not get sorted. They did not get the help that they need because they either didn't seek it. Here we go. Now, here, one that is not just for sexual abuse. It's mental abuse, verbal abuse, and physical abuse as well. So it's all of these. I'm sure that she was verbally and emotionally abused, you know, including sexually abused, not in. Anyone that do not opportunity to say no, I don't want it, especially as a child.
Yes, as a child,
so
how do you say no? Yeah.
Talking to me in this way.
Right. Well, that's another thing. I mean, if you're a child and
you
have,
know,
parents
so,
that verbally abuse you,
again, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. We know that our systems are not set up.
Everything is lingering. It's lingering.
Yeah. I mean, we know that our systems are not designed to help, which is why we have to decide to change the system. We have to decide to change the system, which means we have to put people in positions who have the same mindset, people who understand. The people right now who run the systems don't understand. So this is why we have elections, to replace people with people who have the philosophy that will change the system. Just locking people up and giving them more pain does not help them or the society. So when we comprehend, we're not helping anybody. Our intelligence should make us choose a different way to handle a situation. If someone is damaged and they are causing pain because they're damaged, they need to be healed of the damage and restored. And there needs to be some type of reconciliation that happens between them and the ones that they abused, the ones that they hurt. Just having someone spend 20 years in prison and they come out, but the pain that they caused is still existing in the heart of the person that they violated. So there has to be a holistic approach to this. This is a member of our society that is damaged from whatever happened because they were raised by drug-addicted parents, verbally abusive parents, impoverished parents, whatever the case may be, but they were emotionally damaged, and therefore they were misshapen, and they took that inner pain and inflicted on other people. And so we need to remove them from the society and restore them to health, emotional, mental, physical health. And then they need to, just like they do in the 12-step program and AA, the Alcoholics Anonymous, part of it is that you have to restore the relationship that you broke while you were in your state of inebriation and alcoholism. That person who violated someone, or however many people they violated, that next step needs to be that they restore the relationship. Even if it was a stranger, they need to make some type of restitution, some type of amending of what was broken, some type of acknowledgement that they caused pain. So all of that has to be a part of our rehabilitation system. Otherwise, we're just making money locking people up. And that's why it has become so corrupt, because some of the people, they need to be in there, because you can't have them in the society while they're in that state of mental and emotional dysfunction. But some people didn't. They just maybe didn't have enough money to get a lawyer that could show they weren't the person who did whatever crime. But because the system has become a money-making system, it has not been as diligent in making sure that the people who are put away are actually the ones who committed a crime. And so that creates more damage. All of these things can and must be removed. We have to have the will to do it, and we have to take the steps to do it. And people who don't understand it, they need to not be in positions of authority because they don't have the internal spiritual understanding of what must be done with the human family. We have to put people in positions that have a deeper understanding of why we're here and what our obligation to each other is. Those who don't get it, they don't need to be in leadership. You know, just sit somewhere and do something else, but you can't lead if you don't have vision. That's my thought on that. So I would love to see therapists like yourself and others, be able to help people to be restored, as opposed to, them being behind bars and just getting beaten by prison guards and sexually assaulted, and then they come out more damaged. That's not helping anybody.
Our system, is very challenged, and the individuals that can change them don't. You know,
right.
So we as a community, like this, gives people a sense of hope to let you know if you know if you've been abused, if you've ever been by someone at some time, know that you know that's not your life. That was an experience.
Right.
So you make a decision. Just as she did, she said, "I couldn't no longer be a victim."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you continue to think you are a victim, then you will always be
right.
a victim. To move beyond, it's moving beyond. The mind is trauma. But, you know, there's a new day, and your new day starts when you make that change, when you said that's enough, because when you thought as a child, but when you become an adult, you put away childish things, which means some things that's in your childhood has to come to and allow you to begin a freedom adulthood. A lot of people are still living their childhood memories,
yeah.
traumas, and we call it the child syndrome. You know, when they get upset, when something's triggering them, you know, like into that mindset. Like you said, you know, we want to help them hurt other people. A lot of hurt, you know, and this is something that's been going on in our society, you know, oh my, like this, a very long time. You know, we should work. That's what the man in, you start with the man in the mirror, and you ask yourself, am I enslaved to anything that's disrupting my life? You know, and you know, do I have a sense of peace, a sense of freedom to make a choice without having to consider someone else before I make that choice?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's something that you have to do on an everyday basis. Level until you get comfortable with those that, you know, if they have ever done would be, because the thing about them are out here that have actually assaulted children.
Yes.
You know, they don't, you know, some people don't get sick, Naima. Okay? It's an everyday lifestyle for them. Everyday lifestyle that this is a part of life. And I'm not saying I'm making excuses for them. I'm just telling you. They think this is who they are. They don't even challenge that negative thought of, you know, craziness, because really it's ill. It's sick. It's very, very sick-minded. It's spiritually sick and it's mentally sick.
So tell me this.
That's the main core. So we're going to take another break.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Or you
want
to keep talking?
We'll take a break. And I got a question when we come back, and it's going to take a while to answer it. So we'll take a break, and we'll come right back. And if you're on our switchboard and got a question, press 1, and we'd love to get your thoughts. We had an opportunity to hear from a very powerful sister, Janine Bradford Lee, shared her story and her book about the power of redemption, survival, and victory when it was against all odds. You need to go to Amazon and purchase the book, or you can go to her website, which was, I believe, JanineBradfordLee.com, and get the book Against All Odds. Very powerful story of overcoming.
Yep.
And we'll be right back after
I'm
this.
I'm going to pick mine up today. Yes.
Absolutely. Got to have it on your shelf. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insights, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
With a Place of Peace pop-up from Susan Essentials, you are able to increase productivity, mental acuity, leaving you with higher energy and peace in just 20 minutes. We pop up at our office or yours.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
All right. Welcome back.
Welcome to Sofa Solutions. And with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. Our technical dignity is really not good. I really need to redo this show all over again because there was too much interruption.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And it still is. But anyway, I'm glad the viewers and listeners are still listening because things are much better. It was a lot of information that was lost this program. But again, thank you so much for listening and still sticking in there with us. So, Solution, you had Naima?
Well, the question that I had, I always hear that a person who commits a sexual assault, a person who is a molester or rapist, they cannot be helped. There is no therapy that can undo that. They're going to have that illness for the rest of their lives. That's what is always said. Like, once a sexual abuser, always a sexual abuser. Is that doesn't sound right to me. It seems like whatever illness someone has, there's always a way to reverse it. There's always a therapy that can help. But that's what I'm always hearing, that that's a crime where there is no rehabilitation. They're just always going to be sick in that manner where they abuse people and assault people sexually. What's the basis of that idea? Is that an established thought in the, you know, in the psychological community, in the therapist community, in the counseling community? Is that established as a fact or a thought that this is just what they are and they can't be helped? Or are there people saying, well, no, you can help them. There is therapy, but it just takes some different measures. What is the belief about those who commit sexual crimes?
So the severe trauma depends on the severity of trauma. A sickness, for example, has a different makeup in their brain. They're not, it's like schizophrenia, you know, they're not schizophrenic as far as diagnosis, but I'm saying the brain chemistry is different. The serotonin, the dopamines, all of those are different. Even the ego processes are different in a serial rapist. Now, if someone just, you know, violates a person once for whatever reason, you know, and that's something different. But something like that, like molest a child, rape a child over and over again, no, that's something going on mentally. Mental illness in that individual. Can it be, you know, again, rehabilitated? But it depends on the individual. It depends on what they want to do, because you can talk to a therapist all day long, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to change, because one has to change itself. No one can change that person. They have to acknowledge the truth and do something about it.
So that is literally a brain chemistry issue, where the chemistry in their brain is different, and the impulses, therefore, are different. But it would seem that even if there is an imbalance, that it's correctable, even biochemically. I don't know with...
It is. I'm not,
you know, medications or,
right,
you know.
But I'm not saying it's not. It's just they it's a care system from being a, that's a criminal, anything you're violating, another human being, any type of way, domestic, family, murder, the violations. That means that person has no sense of what they call respect for life.
They don't empathize with others as being like themselves.
There's no respect for life.
It's not there, yeah. But it happened some, I mean, it developed
there's
that
no
way somewhere. Something happened inside of them that removed that capacity for empathy, whether it was early childhood abuse or something, you know, something caused them to be other than what a human being is without having been damaged. And this is my thought. I think that if we are able to change the idea that people are already born with a propensity for bad, then rather than us say, you're born imperfect and you're always going to be imperfect, if we can look at it like you are born perfect and then circumstances misshape your perfection. So what do we need to do to restore you to your original perfection? I believe that if our thought was in that direction, we could then think of ways to help people that have been misshapen by whatever experience they had, whatever biochemical change they went through, whether it was, you know, their eating, the drinking water, whatever it is that made them altered from their original state. I remember years ago reading a book called Mutant Message Down Under. And for people who heard me talk about this before, you know, okay, I'm probably saying something about it on somebody else's show, but that's okay. I want to reiterate the thought that this group of people in Australia, where this woman who's, I think she was a doctor or in the medical field, she went to visit and spent time with them. And what they told her is that human beings have mutated from their original form. Their original form was a state of purity and spiritual purity, even to the point where, you know, they retained this basic skills, even telepathic skills. And they said, we can communicate telepathically because we don't lie. So we don't mind if others enter our hearts and minds and see and hear what we're saying and what we're feeling, because there's no deception between us. Human beings have been mutated from that original form of purity. So this is why they commit crimes against others. And now when she spent time in that community, there was no verbal assault of anyone. No, I mean, the children were treated with such love and kindness. The relationships between people was just, there was nothing but love there and encouragement. Everybody felt beautiful. And now, according to the society's concept of beauty, maybe none of them might have met that, but within that community, everyone was loved. Everyone was applauded for their gifts, their skills, their talents. And there was nothing but joy, even though they didn't have the material comforts of you know, so-called Western society. She went with them on what they call a walkabout, where they just spent time going across the land and having kind of like an adventure and observing and living off the land. But what she observed was a mental health among them that was just superb. No one felt bad or depressed or sad ever, because there was always encouragement. Within that community, no one was looked down upon. And she said, and they told her that this is the original state of humanity before you mutated into what you are today. People that are mean and cruel and hurtful. So you have to be restored to your original purity so that you can live in a state of love the way you were meant to be. And she, of course, found it fascinating, because coming from Western society, raised in America and all that, that idea was alien. You know, the idea that we grow up with, there's something wrong with you. You got faults, you got
right.
problems, you got sins, you got all this stuff. So we don't grow up with the idea that we are perfect beings before we enter a world of distortion that hurts us. And then we learn to hurt others. So I believe that we can eliminate all criminal behavior if we can reverse what happened to people and treat what happened to people that caused them pain and therefore caused them to give pain. And, of course, that means that all the systems in the society that reinforce pain have to also be corrected. I mean, the practice of fining people money because they don't have money. Oh, you can't pay this bill? Okay, then we're going to charge you more money because you don't have money. I mean, that's abuse. There's so many things that we accept as normal that are abusive, just like a person in an abusive household accepts someone coming into their bedroom at night and touching them without them, without their permission or consent, but they can't stop it. We have that same kind of thing in our society. We are accepting abuse, believing we can't stop it, but it is abuse. So at what point do we as individuals and collective, as a collective, decide we are not going to accept abuse as a normal way of life anymore? It's the same thing. So I think when we can look at what we're doing and see that the way we live, the way we have set up our society is abusive, then we can address it and change it. But as long as we accept it as if we don't have a way to stop it, then we're like the abused person who won't get therapy and won't change their life because they won't address the fact that they're in pain and have been hurt. That's my thought on that. So I'm looking at changing the way we look at people as if they can't be repaired and they just have to be punished and put away and cause more damage. I don't think that is helpful because at some point, some people get out and, like you say, they're coming out of prison worse than when they went in, and now they're inflicting pain on the society, and we and everybody has to live in fear. That doesn't make any sense. We should not be living in fear. We should repair the people that are damaged so that we don't have to fear them. That's what I believe. So we've got some callers on the line, and as Dr. Debbie listens to my little soliloquy, her sound system is a little delayed. But I'm going to open a mic, area code 773-450. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about overcoming abuse and the was by our guest today, Janine Bradford Lee, author of Against All Odds. Give us your thoughts. I know.
Shalom, greetings.
Yes,
grand
greetings.
Y'all and greetings. Right? Y'all morning, sir. Yes,
yes.
It's Obadiah. You know what's interesting, Naima? You hit it right on the nail on the head. You know, everything they do traditionally is totally backwards. I was talking to a friend, and she was looking for, you know, we were just talking about relationships. People aren't even getting in relationships for the right reason. For the most part, based on a male-dominated society, it's all about sex. Well, you met her and she's cute. Let's go to bed, baby. Well, how in the hell is physical intimacy number one on the list when you don't even know somebody's mind, spirit, or their purpose? That's absolutely ridiculous, you know? So when society treats us like we're some sort of looking at television commercials, and then they show you, let's just get together and date each other. For what particular reason? First of all, if you don't have any purpose for living, how can you be of any advantage to anybody? We have these false relationships that are built on weakness. Instead of two strong individuals knowing their individual purpose, joining together so they can make something big, you got people that are weak that just lean on you and break you down. That's not a relationship. What's wrong with people? I mean, so you have to start off. Because as a matter of fact, we did a program that we had entitled Find the Romance. But then after we finished the program, it changed titles to Poetic Romance. Because romance has nothing to do with sex like people think it is. Romance has more to do with meeting your creator, becoming a friend, and finding your purpose of being on this earth. Once you know your purpose and have a directive, now you can begin to move forward. But society has all this confusion, competition. You have bitterness and people talking about you because of your features on your face and all this foolishness. And in society, you have all this competition. Oh, look at what I got versus what you don't have. I mean, what the hell is that? A car is the same. It's just transportation, whether it's an old car or a brand new car. So what's the big deal because I bought a 2023? Does that make me better than you? I don't think so. Even if I walk down the street or ride a bike, you're not better than me. But society has created this foolish competition among everybody. Look at presidencies and how they compete against each other. And neither one of the candidates are even telling the truth, but they spend $1 billion and somebody wins the race. Usually they may be even a billionaire like J.B. Pritzker. They win the election, but how many votes did they buy? So we need to change all of that. That's why the education system is screwed up. And the work situation is screwed up. And business is screwed up because originally society was created and people worked in unity with nature and wanted to assist each other. We had like a communal life where everybody helped each other. It was about helpfulness, not about getting over on each other. Where did that come from? So we need to change our consciousness, our minds, and our spirits and get in order with the we, us, and our existence and get away from that me, mine, ass stuff that's going to kill you. Sure, appreciate it. Keep it going, but they got to change that traditional foolishness. Look at television. You have children on TV to talk back to their parents. Is that a good way to raise your children, let them do that? Listen to somebody make a joke talking back to their parents, and then they're going to mimic what they see on TV? Do you really think that's the way to raise your children, let television tell them how to curse and all this other stuff? I'm just saying it's all messed up. They don't teach you any true values that are going to make us one. And the last piece is this. We're doing a piece of a ministry. It's called Grace Communal Life, so it has no religion attached. Religion is a problem because people compete. My God's better than your God. What type of foolishness is that? They had that in the Bible, though. They went through that. They had, oh, well, you build this to your God, and I'll build my God. They've been through that. But I'm saying, how foolish is that? I don't care who your God is. We have to live in harmony because we are human beings. Until we realize that and start seeing each other as help, we'll just keep bumping heads. But people and programs like this that is busting out the truth, and so make your own conscious change within your own world and be a part of the change. Do it. I sure appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you as well. And I totally
thank
agree.
You.
I absolutely agree. Once
thank
we
so
change
much.
The intention of our actions to a desire for the well-being of others, then everything else will change. We have to change the intention in our hearts. If my intention for everything that I do is a desire for the well-being of others, then there are certain things I will not participate in or condone or support because they're hurting people. So it's a change of heart that many people have already experienced and understand. And as you said, none of this makes sense when we see that people are promoting abusive behavior, disrespectful behavior of children in the name of, you know, what's funny, and children start imitating vulgarities and things like that. So we have an opportunity to teach our children from a higher spiritual perspective. And I agree, religions sometimes can be a problem when you have the attitude of, I'm better than you, and my people who follow this religious belief are better than you people who follow another religious belief. Therefore, God likes us more than you. That's ridiculous. And so sometimes that itself is a problem. But we have an opportunity to deconstruct all of that and to raise a different kind of child that can see the fallacy of all of these behaviors that are hurtful. We can raise a child with absolute truth, saying, this does not look right, does it? Isn't this hurting someone? Therefore, how can we do this differently? Because our desire is for the well-being of others. Anything that doesn't fit that model should not be. It should be remade, reconstructed, redone, But we can do that. We can change the society from the way it is and transform it to the way it should be. We have to change the thought, as you said. And we can do that when we admit that what we're experiencing should not be, because it's causing pain. And we're not here on earth to suffer. We're not here to cause suffering. We're not here to condone suffering. We're not here to accept suffering. We're not here to suffer. So we can create a society where there is no suffering. But we have to look at what happened to the people who have caused pain, what happened inside of them. And there are people who've done tremendous damage. We've got mass shooters. We've got people who do murder-suicide, or what Dr. Debbie calls murder-side, killing themselves, their whole families. We've got people who are coming back from wars, and they're so emotionally broken that they can't function. At any moment, they might just explode, and who knows what they may do, you know, kill up their whole family, and people going to a parade and shooting up. I mean, you have people who have mental illness, but just throwing them in a cage for the rest of their lives doesn't repair the damage to their soul. And if we care about all of life, we should want to repair a damaged soul. And that is what all of our institutions should be about, because that's why people are hurting people. Something happened to them. As Janine spoke about her life as a child and being victimized by the adults who were supposed to be protecting and nurturing her, that's very damaging. She made a choice to get help. But how many people don't have help available, or don't know how to seek it, or don't even know that what happened to them is not normal and how they're acting out is not normal? People who commit assaults all the time as a way of life, like Dr. Debbie said, they don't know that there's something misshapen that happened inside of them. They're just hurting people until they get caught and then go to prison. But the damage that they did, now they've hurt people who end up hurting people. So we have to repair the souls of people who have been injured. And we have to repair those that they have hurt. And then we have to repair systems that perpetuate pain. We can do this. This is the time for us to do it, because now we understand that we have the power to change, just as Janine understood she had the power to change her circumstances. First, you have to know that you have the power to change, and then you will do the things necessary to create the change. So it's time for our last break, and if you're on our switchboard, we'll take your call after this break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so that your number lights up, little hand goes up on the switchboard, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll take more calls when we come back after this break. And if you'd like to join us visually on Facebook, YouTube, go to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. You'll see our face right there smiling. And we want to get your thoughts. Feel free to write in your comments, and we will certainly share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. 9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hi, this is John Alexander. Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
We are back for our last 20 minutes of the Female Solution.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yes.
Okay, well.
So we've got some callers on the line. And now I've got a question for our callers, because I know that this is, especially if a person has been a victim of a crime, and if they've known somebody that's dealt with, you know, sexual assault or that sort of thing. It's sexual assault is such a personal crime. It's a violation of your personhood. And, I mean, more than theft or anything like that, it is a violation of your temple, a violation of your soul. And so when someone has been accused of that, and we've seen very prominent, popular people be accused of this, and sometimes, you know, first thing, people don't want to believe it. Oh, everybody's just lying. Oh, they're just saying it because that person's famous. You know, we hear that. And then when once it's proven or whatever that this person violated people, there's such a deep feeling of revulsion towards them. Because no one likes the thought of being violated. So it's almost as if you can never be forgiven for that crime once you have committed it. And I don't know if that's because people identify with a feeling of having been violated, if that has happened to them, and they therefore they feel like, you know, this person should be condemned forever, you know, on the registry as a sex criminal, whatever the case may be. But is that the way we should handle people who have violated others? Yes, it is a very personal violation. Yes, it makes you very angry. Yes, it's very damaging. You feel the damage from the depths of your soul. But if a person was to receive help, therapy, and made restitution, do you think that such a personal crime could be forgiven if part of their consequences was that in some way they made restitution to the person that they violated? And we know people who like paid off folks, you know, to keep quiet. That's not the same thing. That's acknowledging that you hurt them and making some type of financial payment, because they're going to need to pay for therapy to restore themselves. So I think there should be some finances involved in that. And rather than them just, you know, spending a lifetime in jail, the perpetrator needs help. Is that a way we could handle that kind of a violation? That's my question. So let me go to our phone lines, and if you've got a comment, please press 1. We want to get your thoughts on that. It's a very, very sensitive topic. And our guest today, Janine Bradford-Lee, was very transparent, very open in sharing her story. But her openness would help empower some people who might be sitting in the silence of shame, feeling like it's their fault that they were violated. And we have to overcome that. But we also, more than just punishing the perpetrator, we need to repair the damage inside of them that caused them to damage others. That's my thought. So let me go to area code 312-671, Grand Rising, and let us know what your thoughts are about. Is it possible to forgive someone who has violated another and give them help so that they can re-enter society and society doesn't have to fear them? Is that possible to create such a system? What are your thoughts on that?
Hallelujah. Well, in Yah Shalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum to you and my family. This is Brother Minister Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. And yes, we can. Yes, we are God's will. The greatest example was keeping it simple and real. Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, said, and he meant what he said and said what he meant. Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I've had, I would say, brothers and sisters to violate me in different ways, yet I felt that the power in God's will, you know, and Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, was the greatest example. So I have to keep it simple and keep it real. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And part of the solution is to admit that you did something wrong to another person, and you caused them not only pain, but possibly even financial disaster. And yet, you know, I've experienced that in a more personal way, but yet it's too much to even explain it in a little few words. But I wanted to share this thought, too, about the fact that I'm glad that the female solution, you are the number one network, you know, in terms of radio and TV and blog communication, which is a part of unity in the community. And I love you for being a part of the Black and Black Love. And also, information is a key to success. For Black people, Black education is the best of the best, so they can learn better, know better, and do better, and be they self. And we're going to be celebrating my Earth Day birthday tomorrow, November the 18th. I'll be 77 years young. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
Quick.
All right. We win. And
wow.
It is fantastic. You know, you all are fantastic because, see, all you sisters that come on this program, including your guests today, I know that you are 23. See, a healing is not even for the person that perpetrated the crime. The healing is the person that forgive. So that's why you have to keep it real. So and forgive in a healing equals to 23. So you all are different. Everybody's different, but you like a baby Oprah Winfrey. I'm not gonna let you get away from me with that, because I'm a manifesto, and I want to share that with everyone at Lake Grove Village, Lake Grove Village, 3515 South Cottage Grove, first floor. And for more information, just go to today and tomorrow at the Harold Washington Foundation.info. Remember, Mayor Washington said we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people, promoting freedom, justice, equality, and economic. And people can reach me direct at 312-671-2773. So we can work out the solutions to our problems, and we all got problems. But it's still, the fact is that it takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid. The kid, I have to admit, is the room. See, the kid is the wrong all the time. But see, right helps us too. See, right helps us all the time. Wrong hurts us, and right helps us. So let's help each other as brothers and sisters, and forgive one another, because I was a part of the Million Man March, and we still with the program of the continuation of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and atonement, prosperity, and also respect is everything. You've got to respect the word. The word of God says to love God and to love your father and your mother and the elders. So I'm an elder now, and I'm still a student for life. And that time is going to be from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock at Lake Grove Village tomorrow from 3515 South Cottage. And then we're going to be right back on November the 27th. And remember, Dr. Webb Evans, by Black, and Pastor Thornton.
But we want to thank you so much, and we'll take one thing at a time so people have enough to remember. But thank you so much, and we congratulate you for 77 years. That is powerful and still going strong. Absolutely. We want to help Minister Plump celebrate that 77 years. That says a lot. But, you know, they mentioned the Million Man March, and I think that was, I remember watching that, and I think that was a very healing moment for the relationships between men and women, a lot of broken families, and for men to acknowledge the hurt that came from discarding their families, the mothers of their children, leaving them to suffer alone, a lot of pain that women felt. And so having that public acknowledgement, that was a very powerful thing. You know, I understand a lot of white people feel like, look, I wasn't involved in slavery. I wasn't involved there with my people. My folks just immigrated here 50 years ago. We're not guilty. We're not responsible. I get that. But beyond reparations, it would be nice if we could have some type of a mass acknowledgement, to once and for all acknowledge that this was done so that there can be a healing. I think that was brilliant, the Million Man March, because I think that there's a lot of pain in our community that comes from people not taking their responsibilities, not acknowledging the hurt that has caused the children when men are absent, the dangers that we suffer, the drug abuse, the crime. So I think it was a brilliant step in a mass healing that needs to continue, but I think that needs to happen on a larger scale, even in America. The crimes that have been committed against the poor, the crimes that have been committed against people of various ethnicities, I think it has to be acknowledged. The businesses that have exploited people because they didn't have money or didn't have resources or didn't have the language skills, I think there needs to be a truth and reconciliation council set up where people can acknowledge the hurt. And if we can do that for everyday people, then those who've committed crimes of violence and violation of people, they can do it as well. We have to have a culture of admitting wrong and seeking reconciliation and repair, not just punishment, because that doesn't help. If someone hurt people because they were hurt and you give them pain and then they give more pain, then the cycle continues, and that's what we have, a continuing cycle of pain. The cycle of pain has to stop. So I really applaud our guest today, Janine Bradford Lee, for coming forth with her book, Against All Odds, because you can survive against all odds. You can be raised by dysfunctional parents, drug-addicted parents, sexual assaulting parents, relatives, neglectful parents. You can be in that household, and that combination of things, it would destroy you, but you can survive against all odds. And she excelled in school, excelled in life, and is raising children in a healthy home atmosphere. It can happen, but we have to admit when we've been damaged on the inside. And we have to, like Minister Plump said, the forgiveness is what heals the person who's been violated. The forgiveness is what heals them. As long as you're holding on to anger, then it's going to continue to hurt you, and you're going to relive it again. As Janine was talking about, you know, feeling like you're reliving it all over again when people don't acknowledge that they hurt you, or they won't believe you, or they're insensitive. When she went to the police and they were, oh, well, you know, if you don't have any evidence, like, you know, a pair of soiled panties, we can't help you. And what happens with police, rather than them feel empathy and emotion, they are overwhelmed. They see so much hurt. They see so much damage. They see so much horrific treatment of other human beings. They learn to deaden their feelings so that they're not traumatized, so they can't give you nurturing that you want when you go and report a crime. They can't, because they've shut down as a way for their own emotional and psychological survival. That's why you need therapists in positions in places where people are incarcerated, not armed guards. You need people who don't have to shut down their emotions because they're too overwhelmed. You need people who are trained to help the damaged, not people who are just taught to punish and be non-emotional and non-feeling and non-empathetic. That's not helpful. I understand what happens to police. If I had to watch murders every day and killings and rapes all day long, how would that affect my soul? That's why I don't watch it on television. It affects your soul. It affects the chemistry in your brain. So I understand why they become cold. They have to protect themselves from trauma. But these are not the people that need to be around people who have been traumatized and are doing time because they've hurt someone. They need to have access to help so they can come out and help others. That's what has to happen.
So we thank all of you all. Thank you, Obadiah. Thank you, Minister Plump. Thank you all who are on our switchboard listening and those who have been watching and are able to absorb the thoughts and make a decision about how we want to change things so that we can help those who need help. So, Dr. Debbie, last words before we go. Maybe your system will give you a chance to speak a bit and we can be heard.
I was trying to get some words in there.
I was giving you a chance to kind of get the system together.
Sounds
like
words
better.
In there on the phone. Yes. I said the goal is to this is the epidemic in the world. It's been going on for a very long time. It is nothing strange to us. The wickedness of the unsettledness of our society. You know, we try not to label things, but it is real. It causes pain. Pain causes more pain. That's the way it's designed. Fear is one of those things that come in many different shapes and covers and situations, circumstances. However, if you find yourself in a situation like this, whether you are the abuser or the abusee, do something about it. I mean, when you're a child, it's hard to make decisions. But again, you know, as time goes on, you get stronger and you then move away from something that is tearing you down. Know that if you was a product of, in any type of way, experience, it's happened, but grow and allow yourself to evolve into something greater. Because the worst thing to do is listen, even when it's not happening. And it's constantly evolving. We experience these thoughts because they're so deep inside our minds, in the corridors of our heart, and you are enslaved to anything that doesn't make you feel good. Don't allow yourself to stay in that dark place. You know, reach for a greater day, a greater light, and never give up. Never give up, no matter what someone, no matter what they do, no matter what they think. Never give up, because it's easy. Because no one can feel what you feel. And, you know, even though, again, we want to assist and help those who are in this position to harm others, but I must say this, the person has been violated, their lives are forever changed and shattered. And, you know, a violation can cause another violation. So, again, you know, your descendant children, just like Janine did, choose something wonderful. Choose something that is going to build, and you will be able to cut that curse, dismantle that generational thing that constantly kept from growing into the peaceful person that you are, and you go back over your life. Because the kingdom of God suffers by violence, and that's just what it means. You are, and you have the kingdom of God that dwells inside of you. So take your life back. God bless you.
Take your life back. Amen. See you tomorrow. Join
us. Sorry for the interruptions.
Well, we'll invite her back
again.
Yes, we'll invite her back. Do it again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Join us tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back on Female Solution, global radio TV show, Health and Well-Being with Viata. See you then.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.